Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything except your intelligence. Coming up, Presbyterian Gay Pride and Prejudice. Why is gay ordination and marriage so threatening to some people that it leads them into a virtual moral and spiritual panic? We'll discuss this further.
It's Philosophy Talk. There are three fundamental things that divide people in churches: homosexuality, remodeling, and homosexuality. Is homophobia a mere prejudice or a justified fight for literal biblical interpretation? What does it take to have full dignity? Why do we panic over issues of human sexuality? Why are churches supposedly leaving the Presbyterian denomination over this issue? We are coming to you live from the Montclair Presbyterian Church in Oakland, the Bay Area's breeding ground for intelligent spirituality.
Our topic today, Presbyterian Gay Pride and Prejudice. Our Presbyterian denomination, taken as a whole, can't make up its mind about gays and lesbians. On the one hand, many churches have joined the More Light Network, which means they are committed to being welcoming to all and are working to create inclusion and equality across the denomination. Many other churches have taken stands that are open and welcoming, though they may not have officially joined the More Light Network. In May of 2011, Amendment 10A passed, which allows for the presbyteries to ordain gay and lesbian candidates if they desire to do so.
On the other hand, a number of the more conservative Presbyterian congregations have left the denomination. And of those remaining, many still don't think gays should be ordained or allowed to marry a same-gender person. The extent of how divided we are about gays and gay rights is evidence in our church politics. While there is substantial grassroots activism in favor of gay inclusion, surprisingly few national pastors, even pastors who are progressive on other issues, are willing to actually stand up and lead the charge in favor of gay inclusion and justice. I can't think of a single General Assembly moderator who has taken on gay rights as a cause celeb. But in any case, there's no shortage of pastors willing to demagogue against the so-called homosexual agenda and demonize gays and their so-called lifestyle.
Since Presbyterian gay rights is clearly a hot-button issue, it's fair to wonder, what are a couple of philosophers like us doing discussing Presbyterian gay pride and prejudice? The answer is that it's one of our jobs, as publicly minded philosophers, to ferret out our hidden assumptions, to make them explicit and open, and to subject them to intense critical scrutiny. Of course, here the hidden assumptions aren't really so hidden. People who are anti-gay think that homosexuality is a choice, and a sinful one at that, and deeply at odds with their religious beliefs and with how they interpret the Bible. They also seem to believe that gayness is not just a private sin, but is somehow going to lead every other person and the whole denomination down a path of sin and sexual immorality.
By contrast, people on the other side believe gay people are born that way and are children of God as much as anyone else. They tend to think of sexual orientation as just one morally neutral dimension along which humans vary. People vary in race and gender. They vary in sexual orientation too. Difference in race or gender don't mark morally important distinctions between people, and differences in sexual orientation shouldn't either. They believe gay people can still be as spirit-filled or God-filled as any straight person, and that their sexuality is a gift from God, and God does not require celibacy from a gay person any more than God does from those who are straight. People on this side of the issue wonder why the other side is so concerned about homosexuality when most of the pastors who've been accused of clergy abuse have been straight men.
So one question, who is right? And more importantly, how do we go about deciding who is right? I don't have any answers, though I do have plenty of opinions. But if we want more than mere opinion, we should turn to somebody who has thought long, hard, and rigorously about what shapes our attitudes toward gayness, and the role that such attitudes have played in shaping our Presbyterian policies and practices. That would be our guest, renowned psychologist and pastor, Reverend Stan Stevens, editor of Presbyterian Panic and the H Word.
He'll join us in a little bit. We'll also want our audience to join in on the conversation. But in the meantime, we go to our roving reporter, Jean Gregory, as she talks to someone caught up in the struggle, and she files this report.
Should gays and lesbians be allowed to be ordained in the Presbyterian Church? Should they be allowed to get married? On one side, our churches and clergy, who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender, who are welcoming to all, whether they are gay or straight. And on the other side, our churches and clergy who are leaving the denomination or joining the newly formed Evangelical Covenant Order of Presbyterians, which in essence is a shadow denomination designed to keep gay and lesbian clergy and members out, but still share the Board of Pensions. Right in the middle of this debate are churches and clergy who don't want to leave the denomination, but also don't want to have to accept gay and lesbian clergy or members, and don't want to be forced to marry them either. Today, we will talk to Reverend Beth Buckingham Brown, an ordained pastor for 21 years who is an out lesbian and who was threatened by another clergywoman in the same presbytery. Beth, tell us your story of being Presbyterian and gay.
Well, Jean, it's a fairly short story. In some ways, the Presbyterian denomination is like the military. We have operated under a don't ask, don't tell policy. If you are gay and you want to be ordained and serve a congregation, you'll have a much better chance of serving if you simply don't tell anyone you are gay. My story's been a little different because I was ordained before I understood who I was, so I didn't have to lie about being gay. When I did come out, however, I was strongly advised by the presbytery liaison to not tell anyone. The presbytery liaison was a closeted clergywoman. I refused to be or stay closeted, so I told the story of my spiritual journey in a committee meeting at the General Assembly in 2006. When I returned to the Bay Area, a woman minister, Reverend Mary Nagley, came to my church office and said she was there to get me to repent. She had not heard my story, but had heard of it and wanted to know if it was true. I told her it was, and she threatened to file charges against any church that called me as their installed pastor. She also had her husband bring charges against me personally for being in violation of the Book of Order. As a minister member of the San Francisco Presbytery, she had signed a covenant that all ministers signed, agreeing not to bring charges against each other. I think that's why she had her husband bring the charges against me. Fortunately, the charges were dismissed and I never had to go to trial. Unfortunately, her threat still hangs over my head and could still be an issue if I were called as the installed pastor in a church. What is even more significant, though, Jean, is what has happened in the Presbyterian denomination in the past few years. The conservative liberal spectrum has existed forever in the Presbyterian Church. The issues have changed over time from biblical inerrancy to desegregation to war to divestment and, of course, homosexuality. The two opposite ends have always disagreed, regardless of the issue. But what's happened that I find particularly disturbing is that instead of continuing to agree to disagree, the conservatives have taken a page from Hitler's book. They now want to rid the church of all lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. On the surface, it seems to be about leadership. Let's not ordain them. But if you go below the surface, it goes way beyond ordination. Let's not allow them to get married. Let's make sure they receive reparative therapy so they can change who they are. If they aren't willing to change, they have no place in the Presbyterian Church. In fact, the conservatives want to form their own presbyteries so they can meet with and be with people who believe the way they do, the true believers. The term for this idea is non-geographical presbyteries, presbyteries by choice. I'm deeply disturbed by the lack of outrage from the denomination over this new form of segregation. The other disturbing aspect of what's happening now is that faithful lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Presbyterians are being blamed for the membership decline in the Presbyterian Church. The oppressors are, in essence, blaming the victims, which is not uncommon, but is troubling. The membership decline in the denomination began long before homosexuality was in the spotlight. Churches that are leaving are doing so because they want a pure church where everyone agrees theologically. They might blame their leaving on ordaining gays, but it is just as much about our theologies about Jesus and how we differ on issues like atonement and salvation. They no longer want to tolerate theological differences, and that is prompting many of them to leave or to leave in place so they don't sacrifice their pensions or their property.
Thank you, Beth, for speaking to us today. Back to you, Bonnie and David.
We are Bonnie Hamlin.
And David Siegenthaler.
And we are joined by our guest, the Reverend Stan Stevens. Reverend Stevens has counseled with hundreds of people over the years and has studied human behavior in churches for decades. He is a renowned author and all-around nice guy. Welcome to Philosophy Talk.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Reverend Stevens, why don't you tell us how you got into studying Presbyterians and the gay issue?
When I began counseling people early in my practice, I realized how few people coming to me were gay. I finally realized that it was because I was also a pastor. Many gay young people and adults have experienced cruelty from their pastors and their churches. I became interested in why that was happening, even though I am a United Church of Christ minister. I decided to affiliate with a Presbyterian congregation so I could understand better why some Presbyterians treat gay people the way they do. What I found was that there was a great disparity among pastors and churches in how they treat gay people. Some conservative pastors will try to encourage gay people to receive reparative therapy, while more liberal pastors are ordaining gay people as elders and deacons. As I began listening more carefully to the rhetoric from conservatives, I realized that there is a spiritual panic happening among conservative Presbyterians. Spiritual shock is different. That's when you find out that Pastor Jones was having an affair with the organist. Spiritual panic comes from a much deeper place. If a Presbyterian church allows gays and lesbians to be ordained or to marry, the panic that arises is that everything I have always believed to be true is now questionable. If a person has been taught and so believed that gay people are sinning and need to stop being gay because of what it says in the Bible, and then all of a sudden is taught and or believes differently, then everything else they have believed will be true about the Bible and is called into question. This leads to spiritual panic. This panic is what has led to the idea that the church must be purged of all gay people. If gay people leave the Presbyterian church, then what the conservatives have believed all along is reinforced and is no longer in question.
It's time for a short break. When Philosophy Talk continues, we will find out what some other Presbyterians think as we hear from our audience. Welcome back. Can reasonable Presbyterians stop trying to purge the church of gays and lesbians, or at the very least to segregate them into their own churches and presbyteries? Those against gays and lesbians wouldn't describe themselves as fearful or panicked. How can we think about their attitudes? Should we really be so hard on people that believe things now that people 40 years ago believed? For years, good church people, good church-going people, thought that women and African Americans were inferior, but we've recognized those prejudices were based on what people were taught and on the unwillingness to share power. We'd love to have questions from the audience. Welcome to Philosophy Talk.
Thank you. Thanks so much. My name is Pat, and I have a brother who is gay and who attends a Presbyterian church in Wisconsin. He didn't tell them he was gay when he first started going there, and they were happy to have him attend. When he finally came out to them and told them he was gay, they suggested he might be more comfortable at the UCC church down the road. Do you think they were asking him to leave their church because he was no longer welcome? Or do you think they were really trying to help him?
Well, we both have opinions on this matter, but how about let's ask our guest. Reverend Stan, what would you say to this question from our audience?
Well, you have to remember that your brother was a threat to everything the people of that church believed. If they pull the one thread called homosexuality because they like and decide to accept your brother, they will be unraveling the whole fabric of the Bible. Not that it doesn't need unraveling, mind you, because a good deal of it could use some major unraveling. Given the fear at the moment, I would say that they were probably asking your brother to leave that church because he was gay.
We'll take another question from the audience.
My name is Jim. Thank you for taking my question. My first granddaughter was born in April, and I have high hopes that she will grow up in the Presbyterian Church. What can I do in the midst of all that is going on in the denomination to ensure that there will be a Presbyterian Church when she grows up, and that it will be truly a place of welcome and love?
I think I can answer that one. My advice to you would be to remember your Presbyterian Church history. There have been many controversies, some schisms and some heart-rending years. The important thing is that you continue to speak up for the denomination you want to be a part of. You and others in your church are either part of the problem or part of the solution. So many people have gone silent in the conversation out of fear, out of upsetting friends on both sides, and out of apathy. We Presbyterians affirm paradox, although sometimes uncomfortably so. The eternal God became flesh. The word speaks through the human words of Scripture. The Bible blesses slavery and the exclusion of the divorced from ordained office, yet trumpets the triumph of justice, mercy, and faith. It is the neglect of paradox that causes Presbyterians to go off the rails into intolerant liberal or conservative fundamentalism. It is paradox, holding two thoughts in tension simultaneously, which holds the key to understanding the issues regarding ordination and marriage, and dare I say, biblical interpretation. You might have been too young, but remember how many conservative Presbyterians used the Bible to justify segregation. Rather than choosing for or against homosexuality, the primary question might be, can we live with paradox? So Jim, what you and others can do is continue to work for love, justice, and inclusion of all, and have faith that God will continue to work with the clay we call the Presbyterian Church and fashion it into something beautiful, albeit different from its current form.
Thank you, David. What a great way to end our program today. Remember, folks, cogito ergo blogo. I think, therefore I blog. For a free podcast of today's show, go to mpcfamily.org. Our executive producer today was Laurie Kendall. Thanks to our guest, the Reverend Stan Stevens, our reporting rover, roving reporter, Gene Gregory, and you, our live audience. We wouldn't want you any other way. We are Bonnie Hamlin
and David Siegenthaler, signing off from the Montclair Presbyterian Church in Oakland, the Bay Area's breeding ground of intelligent spirituality.